You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
That's what I'm talking about. For the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBots Live with Bobby Chulo. Got my co-host again hanging with me today, 1,000% Knockout Nicolette. Nicolette, how are you, dear?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. I look forward to what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we got so much to talk about this episode because we did so much stuff, and I wanted to get in-depth about talking about when we went to go see Damian and Bestia and Mecha Wolf in person. So I want to talk about that, but my wrestling guest that was supposed to come on with us today, you know, when they don't call back after a certain time, it's hard for me to book them because then it's like if I say – okay, I'm going to advertise them and they don't show up, then that makes me look bad. And then if I don't advertise them and they call at the last minute, you know, so I just have to, if they don't call back at a certain time or whatever, then I can't book them. And so that's how it kind of works. And for some reason, I don't know, you know, Nicolette, maybe you can let me know with this COVID going on. I mean, do people really, are we so much back to normal that people are doing stuff nowadays? Cause I don't know about you, but, I've been training still here at home and then doing the show. I was going to say,
I still find myself at home. So no, I don't know where these people are going unless they're doing some underground stuff.
Yeah. Real quick. Cause I want to run a couple things by you real quick. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the signing for lack of a better term, cause they did a lot more than signing with Damian, Mecha Wolf and Besta. We went to go see him in person, had a really good time. It was hotter than hot, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Then I also want to talk about this past Sunday, cause there was a huge photo shoot at Paul's Photo, which is in the city of Torrance. And you know, usually when I do something or whatever, not that many people show. I mean, I have to invite like 100 wrestlers or whatever to get like five. But this, they came out in droves. I mean, when I told them that they're going to take some professional photographs and they can get some 8x10s done to, you know, to put on their merch table, it was freaking packed. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then at about 7:45 or so, Jesus Vasquez is going to come on. Jesus Carragamo Vasquez is going to come on, you know, Sambo, Judo, training at the Anaconda Academy with Giovanni Varela, and, you know, very accomplished. So there's, when I have some stuff to talk about news-wise in MMA, I like to get him on, you know, so I can pick his brain with certain things like that. So we'll have him coming up at about the 45-minute mark. But before we get started and talk about all that, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, let me tell you something, and Nicolette can attest to this. Kevin Kleinrock's got to be the hardest working man in Lucha. I mean, I don't know if he got bit by the bug or whatever, but that dude is always working. I mean, he's always, you know, like just trying to make things better, you know, always working. So with Mass Republic and Legend of Lucha Libre, they got their shirts in Hot Topic. Now, Nicolette, I'm not too sure, but I think that it's going to start off on special online and then come in the stores later on, right?
I think it's an online exclusive first, and then you should see them in stores. And then there's going to be like a bunch of like discount codes and stuff when you can order them online or when you can see them in store.
Yeah, and I, you know, I didn't get a chance to look at them like I wanted to, but they have some. They're always cool. They got some Psicosis, and even Nicho himself went on his Twitter and said, hey, man, you know, these shirts are cool. They're going to be in Hot Topic. You got to check them out. But, you know, they have Psicosis, Rey Fénix, Solar, Penta, Cero Miedo. They got, oh, I mean, it's huge. So you definitely want to check that out. If you check out Hot Topic, I don't know if it's hottopic.com or whatever to see what they got. But to me, when they get in the stores, that's when they're going to start moving, because a lot of people don't want to go online and put their credit card over online. Some people are like that, but you know, once they get in the stores,
do you remember, Bobby, how in demand the Bullet Club shirts were when New Japan merged there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! And people would stand outside, and then people would say, like, the thing that you're looking for is that little trademark inside, and you'd be like, right, do you have this one? They'd be like, no. As soon as they come and hit the show, and the employees were like, we don't even know what New Japan Pro Wrestling is, but they go really fast. I mean, their patches went fast, their stickers went fast. Everything went so fast. I had difficulty finding a lot of them.
They go, we just got it in Wednesday, and it's Friday, and they're already gone.
Yeah.
Or you go, and you can maybe get a small or something like that, or a waist 26 belt or something like that. So, but I spend a lot of money in there because I like the patches and stuff, like, because I like to make my own stuff. So, hey, props to Kevin Kleinrock, you know, for putting in the time to get that stuff out there. I'm sure once it gets there, people are just going to start buying in droves. You know, I'll be there. That's for sure. I mean, because there's a lot of stuff that I like. But speaking of Cerro Miedo, you know, a lot of people kind of talk about that in the same breath as Rey Fénix. But as you know, a lot of that has to do with the Perros del Mal and Perro Aguayo Jr. and stuff. And, you know, it came up on the anniversary of his passing and all that. So Nicolette herself reached deep into her deep pockets and hooked us up over at the tattoo place. So real quick, you want to talk a little bit about that, Nicolette, and tell us, you know, first of all, what made you want to get that tattoo? And second of all, how was it? Because I got mine on my calf and you got yours right on the side by your ribs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, as everybody knows, Fabi's been in the business for forever, but he brought me in. Fabi, are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm dying over here. Sorry about that.
Okay, that's okay. I think 2017, maybe, Fabi and I started both working together. Fabi's always had a passion for lucha. I have too. So I've kind of like grown up in the business, and I always wanted to get us a tattoo. I feel like everybody has a Blue Demon tattoo. It's so common. Yeah. Everybody has one. And so I said, I want something kind of different. And Fabi and I were, I said, I'm going to get you a tattoo. And Fabi said, okay. Fabi's tatted, you know, sleeves and everything. And I said, I'm just going to get the four scratches for the Perros del Mal. Fabi said, okay, that's cool. That's cool. And then I had gotten sick. I don't know if you guys remember when I had to take some time off the air. And I told Fabi, you know what? We're going to get the Cerro Miedo behind it. And Fabi said, okay, okay. And I thought that was like two cool, like lucha things mixed together. And just to think that like Fabi and I have no fear. Like if anybody knows Fabi from the past, Fabi's wrestled all kinds of matches. He doesn't care. Yeah, I got sick. And I said, you know what? Even if I'm not cleared, I'm still going to go back, even though maybe I just manage, but if somebody books me and says, hey, like, Nicolette, can you do this? Can you do that? I'll do it. So I was like, zero fear, we're getting it. So yeah, Fabi got his on the back of his calf. It fits him very well. I got mine on my rib cage. A lot of my tattoos are hidden too, you know, just for different reasons and stuff. But moving forward though, is a great tattoo. Fabi and I are not basic. We did not get the common Blue Demon. So that's something that we both share now.
But you could, like, right now it's up in the air, but you could super kick somebody right now if you wanted to, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. The right person, yes.
That's what I'm talking about. But, you know, once we put everything online and everything went up, people were asking me because, personally, I think Beto Aguayo Jr. was one of the best workers ever. I mean, the dude had so much, like, passion. And, yes. And I mean, the dude was just 100% all the time. I got to wrestle. I was booked to wrestle him twice. I only got to wrestle him once. It was at a swap meet way out there in Oxnard, I think it was, or whatever. I can't remember correctly. But and he was just a pup. I mean, he could have been maybe 18, 19, if that. But he was the, like, we'd say, hey, man, let's do this. And he'd go, yeah, let's do it. Okay, well, what about, yeah, man, no problem. Let's do it. I mean, like, I could have said, I'm going to give you a power bomb on the cement. He said, all right, let's do it. You know, whatever. So he was
right.
But real quick, Nicolette, when I saw him, or like there's certain wrestlers that you work with or that you see and you just know. It's like, I knew this guy was going to be – first of all, he did whatever. He worked whatever. He was able to work the crowd. He was 100 miles an hour. All this stuff looked good. It was just from the beginning you could tell he was going to make it. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Fabi, speaking of super kick, when you asked me that question, did you see the upcoming match that's going to be on AEW? I wanted to know who you were going for. It's Jurassic Express. I do not see Marco Stunt advertised. It's Jurassic Express and the Young Bucks versus Private Party and SoCal Uncensored.
Yes,
I wanted to know who you had for that match.
I probably would have really liked it much more if SoCal Uncensored would have been with the Young Bucks, because I've known Frank Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Scorpio Sky used to come up to the house with BJ Darden and roll up and talk for hours about wrestling and all that. And of course, I've known Frankie and Christopher Daniels for forever. I mean, I've known that dude for over 20 years. So whatever team SoCal Uncensored is on, that's the team I hope goes over, because those guys have dues paid in full, especially Chris Daniels. And I'm always with them 100%. What about yourself?
See, and I'm a big Jurassic Express fan. I do like them, though, when they're with the boys, with Jack Perry and with Marco Stunt. And, of course, I do like the Young Bucks. But I feel, though, like Scorpio Sky and Christopher Daniels have so much, like, talent. Like, they're very, like, well-known in the business. You know what I mean? Like, they have, like, that, like, education part of it. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm definitely going to watch that. But I wanted to see who you were going for.
Well, it's funny because – At the photo shoot that we had at Paul's Photos, I got a chance to sit down and talk with Tyrus, with Simon Lotto and Steve, and them. And I was telling them, because we were talking about, you know, how they were going out there and working with them at their house and stuff like that.
Right.
And I was telling them what a good wrestler that his wife is. I think it's Nick Jackson that's married to Ellen. He told me, and I can't remember. But we were doing a show at Battleground Pro. Where OCCW is running today out there in Los Alamitos. And she was training with somebody else. I'm not even going to mention the name because I don't want to get them in trouble. And it was her first day, and they were doing back body drops. And I'm like, oh, my God, this girl's going to die. So I approached her. I said, hey, look, man, you know, you got to come work out in my class. We're going to start you from the beginning. And she was like, absolutely. And she was fearless. I mean, that girl would go – whatever I would say, let's do this, and she'd be totally down. So when she was ready to work, she was more comfortable working with me. So it was myself, and I think it was either Hector Canales or Val Viper, I can't remember, against her and Arizona.
And I remember Arizona.
Yeah. So I had a bunch of friends from work in the front row, and I picked her up over my head because she's got to be, what, maybe 4'11" and maybe 98 pounds or whatever. And I threw her into my friends, and her dad came behind me. He was gonna lay me out. Luckily, I turned and saw him, and I started to duck because I saw him coming, and somebody cut him off. I can't remember who it was. So I grab Ellen, I throw her in the ring, and I go, doesn't your dad know that we're working? She goes, I thought he did. So that was the night that she met the Nick Jackson or Mac Jackson. I'm pretty sure it's Nick. I don't know. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And they hit it off. I mean, they hit it off like it was nothing. And it's been whatever, true love or whatever since. And I was telling Simon that I talked to her or messaged her or something probably about 6 or 8 months ago. And I'm like, hey, why don't you come work my show or whatever? She's like, man, I got kids now. I can't. I'm like, bring them. I will book Ellen anytime. But, you know, if she wants to, like, with the weeks, you know, like 1 week or 2 weeks getting back into it or whatever, that, because that girl had a heart and she had more guts than any woman wrestler that's around today. Yeah. I'm telling you, she can go. But,
and you know,
hey,
Bobby, how you're saying that she would do anything, and you're saying that on the first day they did back body drops. I had just recently tweeted when I had gotten sick, I was saying, please be careful when wrestling schools reopen, and please go to a school that is ran by vets.
Yes.
You know, I went to training a couple of nights, and it's a few nights that you told me, like, hey, like, don't go, like, you know, they don't know what they're doing, and I went. And I remember one night somebody dropped me out of a fireman's carry, and I remember one night somebody else, rookies, were, like, training, and I must have hit my head on the canvas, like, 15 times. And, like, the next night, like, my mom was like, are you okay? Because I didn't look good. And so it's super important, and I know, like, you could speak more on this, but when wrestling schools reopen after COVID, please, please, please go somewhere where you are paying money and where the people who are training are vets.
Yeah, and you kind of know their background or whatever, that they're legit. Because there's a lot of people that are just out there to make money or whatever. But I just don't want to see somebody get hurt. I mean, if she would have landed wrong and broke her neck, and that would have been the end of it, I'd have been highly upset, especially for her, because she's such a nice person. And she's very quiet. But, man, when she saw that Jackson brother, oh, my God, she came out of her shell like I've never seen anybody before. So props to her. But anyways, I want to get into that. I want to get into the signing with Damian and Bestia and Mecha Wolf and all that, because I had such a good time. But real quick, before we get into that, let's see what Denise Salcedo has going on for this week. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch all of the great network content this week. Monday, Business of the Business returns as Master Public President Kevin Kleinrock welcomes artist Jesse Hernandez, better known to many as Urban Aztec, to the show. The two will talk about both sides of Jesse's work in the licensing game, creating original designs for prints, toys, and apparel, and working with everyone from Bay Area sports teams and Marvel to Master Public and the WWE, merging his signature style with some of the biggest properties on the planet. On Tuesday on Mass, Mass, and Mayhem, the crew takes aim at an AEW star they are throwing up on the wall of shame for what they say is stealing from a former Lucha Underground star. Then they even take aim at Lucha Underground itself, calling Season 1, Episode 15, trash, and debate Tejano's use of the TV series, plus lots more. Check out the premiere video stream Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. This Tuesday night, live on WrestleBossLive.com, Fabi Chulo is back to talk pro wrestling and MMA. Coming off a huge victory at the Fight to Win grappling tournament, John Thomas joins the show to talk about how wrestling has helped his jiu-jitsu game, and then luchador Steve Payne will join the show to talk about his experiences in SoCal, AAA, Lucha Underground, and more. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. This week, things get a little extreme as Lunatic Extreme grabs a seat at the table and the crew talk lucha extrema in Mexico. Plus, you never know who else may stop by unannounced. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez. This week, two of the PWR Training Academy's top prospects, Charisma and Gavilan, pull up to the spot to talk about learning the Lucha Libre style, how the pandemic has led to distance learning even for pro wrestlers, and getting things back and running at the academy. The life of a Lucha Libre trainee is not often explored, and even I'm really looking forward to this one. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central Weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. This week, both shows update you on the upcoming CMLL iPay-per-view and their big annual Aniversario event, along with a look at this coming weekend's WWE NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam events, which includes the in-ring debut of El Príncipe Misterio, Dominic. Plus, on Lucha Central Weekly in English, AAA Superestrella Mr. Iguana gives his first English interview. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms. And please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week, everyone.
It's funny because she's talking about Jesse Hernandez and you know, in the business for such a long time and all that. When I first started, I was looking for a training school, and that's where I went. I went to Jesse Hernandez and Billy Anderson were running out there like in the city of Pomona. And my first day there, I was, first of all, scared to death because, you know, everybody wants to get into it. But when you get there and it's time to train, you know. So the first person that I run into there while we're waiting to get started is Chris. I can't remember his last name, but the one who was Papa Shango and later on went to become the pimp daddy or whatever he was there. So this dude's like 6'4 or whatever, and I'm like, oh my god, is everybody this big or whatever? But he had just got the call to go to WWE, so they were working, you know, getting him ready to go up there. So they put them in the ring first to start working with them, and I'm like, holy shit, this you know, is this what we're doing? And well, so, but then they kind of slowed it down and said, yeah, you know. So I went there one time, and then it was too far to drive all the way out to Pomona. So that's when I went to Pistol Pete's or whatever. But anyways, for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at Wrestle Boss Live with Fabi Chulo. I got 1,000% Knockout Nicolette with me, and we're talking a little bit about training and all that. But, you know, we didn't get a chance to get in-depth with checking out the live signing with Bestia, Mecha Wolf, and Damien. So for the people listening, you know, there's few people that I like put over big time or whatever, but Mecha Wolf is definitely one of them. It's funny because when DJ Vos, which I talked to him twice at the Lucha Expo, and we talked a lot about underrated guys. We talked about Black Tarus, who I guess is Tarus Rivera now, and we even like guys like Super Astro, who were just really underrated, and we talked about Mecha Wolf, and we talked about, man, this, you know, this guy, to me, it's good that he kind of didn't go into WWE, because I don't think they would have known how to use him, and how he went on the independents. He said, yeah, and he said, I put that guy against Tarus, and it's gold, or whatever. So I started watching, and I'm like, yeah, man, this guy's really underrated. Then he cut some promos with Bestia, and I'm like, man, this guy can cut promos. And so we started talking, and hey, let's get you on, and stuff like that. Then he started talking about retirement and all that. And I said, when they said they're coming to the Wrestling Guy Store to do a sign, I said, let's go. I said, we got to go down there, support these guys, buy some merch, talk to them. Of course, Damian I've known forever. I mean, wrestled him a few times. And speaking of Perros de Mal, when they were at their peak, I mean, that's who it was. It was Damian, Halloween, Perro Jr., Hector Garza, and them. And that was, you know, that was a cool faction. So I had thought, and I think S.A. Rios was with them too. So I thought it was really cool. So
Bobby, you got to meet Black Taurus at Lucha Expo? Is that where you met him?
The second one.
Oh.
And I talked to him. You know, well, real quick for the people listeners, it's pretty much how it is. You know, Nicolette, especially when they first get there, some people come a little bit late or they're already there, but they get a big line. I mean, the longest line I've ever seen was for Psycho Clown. And it was, you know, wrapped all the way around. But after about 45 minutes or an hour, when they finally get finished signing and taking pictures and stuff like that, they have a good half hour where it's not that, you know, busy, or you'll get one or two people. So that's what I said. I said, let's go a little bit later after the crowd dies down. We'll get a chance to talk and, you know, be able to like more relaxed, that they're not rushing you through the line or whatever. So we get there. There was only maybe four people in line, would you say, Nicolette?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to tell you, so you stood in line, you took a picture with them and everything, because I went to Baja Stars maybe like 6 months before that, and I only stood in line to meet Phoenix and Bestia, and we saw him standing there, and I was like, I'm not going to take a picture with him because he looks really intimidating. So I was going to ask you how your experience was. Like, was he cool with you, like, to take the picture?
With Mecha or with Bestia?
Well, with Tarus. Was he cool?
Oh, Tarus, yeah. It's true because with the mask and with the, you know, he's a pretty big dude.
He's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah, so when I went over there, he just finished, and he was just, like, getting his merch, like, straightening it out and stuff like this. So I went up and talked to him, and I said, hey, man, I said, how much is it to take a picture with you, man? I said, I'm definitely down. He's like, oh, no, just jump on in. So we took a picture, and we started talking, and I told him, I said, hey, man, you know, I really like your stuff. You know, I think you got something here or whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, thank you or whatever. He goes, man, I hope one day I can get, you know, to WWE. And I was like, ugh. And he looked at me, and I'm like, hey, I get it. You know, that's where everybody wants to be, and I would be happy because you'd be making the money, but I don't think they know how to use you, man. You know, when you work with somebody like Mecha Wolf and stuff, I go, you guys tear the house down. Put it this way, when Cain Velasquez made his pro debut, that's who he worked with, because Black Taurus can shine people up. I mean, when people like Cain Velasquez, who are greener than green, are working them like the main event AAA, and they ask you to do, you know, to work some spots with them, that says a lot about you as a wrestler, that they're comfortable with you working with them or whatever. But he was real cool. He's like, yeah, man, you know what? His mask, I think, were $175, which you can't blame him because there's so much detail and stuff that goes into it. He told me that it takes anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks just to make one mask, because they have to, you know, with all the stuff that they put on there and the hair and the teeth and all that stuff or whatever, so you really can't blame him. But very underrated, especially and when he works with Mecha Wolf, man, they can tear the house down. But anyways, so when we got there, first of all, it was probably, what, 102 degrees outside,
It was like 97 as soon as we pulled up.
But here's the point that I'm trying to make, and I was a little, you know, I've always had a working relationship with the Wrestling Guy Store. And when I would go do a live broadcast over there, because, you know, back then I was mostly MMA. I didn't do that much wrestling, but I always want to give the guys a push and when they're doing their shows and stuff. So I had a good working relationship with them. And the first thing I would do after I got all set up was cut a big promo for Facebook or the social media and say, hey, you know, we're here. This is the address. This is who we got. Hey, do you have any specials coming? Always make sure you know, I include that. So when we got there, I didn't act like a big shot and go, hey, man, I'm here with Lucha Central. You know, we're covering this. Can we, you know, bypass the line? None of that. We stood in line like regular people, you know, just, you know, because I didn't want to act like a big shot. So we waited for about maybe – the wait honestly wasn't that long. Maybe 15 minutes, would you say, Nicolette?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. But it was hot, so it felt like an hour.
It was.
But anyways, so – we get there, the lady takes our temperature, we go in and all that, and I'm like, hey, so there was a couple of people at the table, so we went around and we waited, you know, just waited. So finally when they went through, there was probably only, I would say maybe two or three people behind us. So I started talking to Mecha Wolf right away, and I'm like, and he's like, hey, man, I really like your show, and, you know, everything was good, and I'm glad you let me talk about, you know, my music as well as wrestling, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, it's good to meet you in person. So it was really cool. And then you pay, you know, you have to pay to take the picture with them. Nicola, can you remind me how much it was to take the picture?
I think I paid $25 for my photo, and that's all I got, because you paid for my autograph and for the baby's photo. So that was a separate charge.
Right. So we paid our money to take a picture with them, and then with everybody, with Mecha Wolf, Damon, and yeah. Bestia. So Michael Parks and Manny Pinson, who are the owners of the United Wrestling Council, they paid separate. They didn't say, well, I'm going to pay $25 and we'll all get in it. They each paid separate to take their pictures with them or whatever. So I'm talking, you know me, man, I'm talking away. And then Damon and them are like, what's up, man? You forgot us? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. So I knew who Bestia was, but I never like really met him face to face. And, you know, it's like, hey, what's up, man, or whatever. So this time he goes, you're Fabiano. And I'm like, yeah. And for some reason, I don't know why, but in Spanish, I said, oh, yeah, I'm Damien's other son. And Damien's like, what? So I go, no, I'm just messing around. And you're like, well, come on, man. Everybody's posing their ass off, and I'm over there talking. So we took the picture, and I went back to talking to Mecha Wolf because, you know, I wanted to buy some merch. First of all, my nephew Mason wanted Damien's had that. How long has Damien had that mask that's half Halloween, half Damien?
I don't know, because I feel like that's the first time that I've seen that one. I keep on thinking of the one that Bart has.
Well, when we went to the first Lucha Expo, the one in Las Vegas, that mask was there. And it's half Halloween, half Damien. And it's cool. I mean, I really like it. But he wanted $210 or something for it. So I go at the expo, I go, $200. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, well, I got to give Halloween half. And I'm like, damn. I go, I didn't even bring that much money on me or whatever. He's like, oh, okay. So it was still on the table when we went to go see them at the signing or whatever. So anyways, that's not the mask that Mason wanted. He wanted the Ultraman. Because Damien played, you know, did the Ultraman gimmick for a while, which was clean. But I think he wanted $175 for that one. I'm like, man, you better go look at the pictures or whatever.
Really.
So we bought a grip of merch. I bought a Mecha Wolf shirt, some stickers and some buttons and a bunch of stuff. And then I got the Bestia hat from him. And then Damien had some cool buttons that were half Bestia, have Damien or whatever. So the point I'm trying to make is we spent money. We bought some pictures. We bought a bunch of stuff and all that. I would say between all of us, we probably spent about $200 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, bought
some stuff, too. I don't know what I bought. Oh, I bought a sticker, and I bought two masks off of Damien, too. I didn't buy Lucha mask, but I bought, like, COVID mask off of him. And the same thing,
right,
too.
The
you know how you're saying you know how you're saying you asked for interviews? I asked Damien, I'm like, how do I get around the table? Because, do I jump over? Like, how do I get back there? And then he had to be Dad, move. Yeah.
It was long. It was because all three of them had all their stuff out. But, and you know, we've been trying to get the Perros del Mal mask for a while. I know they had them. Kevin had them for a while. I don't know if they sold out or whatever, but he had them there. So it's like, all right, cool, man. Let's get these. Which Kevin's always saying, hey, man, if you can't, go ahead, because then the money goes straight to him. You know, we don't have to worry about it or whatever. So we got some cool Perros del Mal mask. I'm going to wear that bad boy tomorrow so I can take a picture of it. But anyway, so we spent, you know, money and everything. So when everybody went through the line, I asked – I don't know where David was. David's the owner. He went somewhere. Who knows? And I asked the guy. I think it was his partner. I don't know for sure because I don't – all I know is David. And I'm like, hey, man, is it okay? I brought my recorders. And I just wanted to record a few things, just some quick promos, and maybe have Mecha Wolf say, hey, what's up? This is Mecha Wolf, and you're listening to Wrestle Boss with Bobby Chulo or whatever. And he's like, oh, no, man, you're going to hold up the line, and you're going to – and I'm like, what? I'm like, dude, there's nobody. So I didn't want to make a scene or whatever. So I'm like, all right, man, no problem. You know, it's cool or whatever. So, which kind of sucked because they were totally down. I mean, especially Mecha Wolf and all that. He's like, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I don't want to create no waves or whatever. But, you know, even though everything went great, you know, we Abraham, who I've known forever, he's one of the referees that does the crash and stuff. He lives in San Diego or National City, which is right before you get to the border. And he brings them, you know, and he brings them down, and they went to go eat hamburgers and takes them back, drops them off at the border, and they head back into Tijuana. So he's like, hey, man, you know, we want to bring you for a show. What we want to do is have Mecha Wolf and Bestia wrestle High Risk. That's what we're working towards. And they're like, absolutely, man, let us know. We'll do this.
Hey, who
you know,
said
and
Abraham said that?
Well, no, I was talking to Mecha Wolf and Bestia at this time.
Okay.
I think you were buying the stuff from Damien at that time, looking at the master stuff. But,
hey,
but
who
Abraham
said they want High Risk to wrestle Bestia and Mecha Wolf? Who said that?
Manny and Michael Parks.
Okay, I will contact Manny and Michael Parks and let them know that I want to manage that match.
Well, of course. I mean, that goes without saying. But anyways, so Abraham was like, absolutely, dude. He goes, I'll pick him up. I'll bring him down or whatever. So I was like, this is beautiful. We're getting a working relationship. So even though everything went well and we were so happy and I got a chance to talk to Damien finally, you know, before I left and everything was cool, that's the only thing that I left with was that they couldn't just give me a few minutes just to put them on tape, because what I do is record, then you upload it to a thing or whatever, and then I can send it to Greg DeMarco and he can clean it up and send it. So no big deal. It's cool. No problem. We'll catch him another day. We're going to bring him down to do that or whatever. But the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, we come to support. We didn't come and act like big shots and ask for free stuff or whatever. We came and supported and spend money, and I couldn't even get him on tape. That's kind of what I went away with. But other than that, I thought it was pretty cool. Would you agree, Nicolette?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I don't know who else David would bring back that I'd be like, okay, we're going to that, because this one was kind of Fabi's choice. He was like, hey, like he told me, like, hey, there's going to be a signing. Like, you want to go? I was like, okay. Last people I went to go see there was Rosa Mendez and was Benta. So I'm not sure who I will go down to go see. But definitely,
well,
or if not, I'll do a show where I can do the meet and greet before.
It takes a lot to get me out of the house, as you know, especially for something like that. But the last time I went was when it was I went with you with Rosa Mendez, and when I went, it was when Taya and PJ Black and all them were there, and
oh,
that
that's
was
right.
Cool.
We did go to that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool, and I had Taya on my other show right before that, so it was really cool. And then I had the tank top with the Mexican flag that looks like Superman symbol or whatever. And
I remember that,
I'm talking, and PJ Black was just staring at me, and I'm like, oh, dude, we got heat out of him. He's looking at me, he goes, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, yeah, man, what's up? He goes, let me have that tank top, bro. And I'm like, you know what, dude, let us all get in the picture. It's yours. And he's like, all right, cool. I even have that picture of where I give him the tank top or
I
whatever. So, yeah, and so the point we're trying to make is we don't go in there and act like big shots. We pay our money. We make sure that we support the people that go and stuff like that. So, hey, if I think that you got it or whatever, or you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I will come and support you. I will make sure that we buy some of your stuff and stuff like that, because I think Mecha Wolf is great. I mean, I really think that guy's got something. He's talking about retiring because he wants to do his music, which is cool, but I hope he doesn't, because I think that dude's got the skills to pay the bills. But anyways, hopefully we'll see him again. Hopefully we'll get him down here to do that show. I think it's going to happen pretty soon. So let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Paul's photo shoot, and then we'll have Jesus Carmel Vasquez coming on. So hang on. We'll be right back.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by...
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. Lucha Central doing damage. Kevin Kleinrock put up that they are second only to Chris Jericho in the podcast or whatever. I got to be honest, man. I think Chris Jericho is freaking hilarious. I mean, when he's on commentary, I will definitely listen because he's I think he's funny. And his podcast I've listened to before, and it's just the way he does it is very interesting. Plus, when you've been in the business as long as he has and paid your dues as much as he has, you know, it goes without saying. It's funny because he was wrestling at All Nations. He wrestled at Platanos and Compton or whatever. So that dude paid some serious dues. But props to Lucha Central, man, for doing the hard work and getting out there. But for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Bobby Chulo. I got Nicolette Marie with me talking a little bit about seeing Damian and Bestia and Mecha Wolf in person, which was pretty cool. But, you know, we just keep going. I mean, we did that. And then Wednesday we went and got the Cero Miedo tattoos. And then Saturday, just this last Saturday, we had a huge photo shoot. Paul's Photos is this big photo place that's in the city of Torrance. And it's huge. They have a huge back parking lot, and which was pretty smart. They made like some murals in the back. So when you take pictures, you have these really cool backgrounds. So I told all the guys, I told like the Alas de Oro, the Chivos, High Risk, Sean Black, all these people. I said, look, man, if you guys come down, you know, we're going to have a live show, not wrestling show, but just a live show where we record stuff. And then we're going to take some pictures, and you could take some pictures. And when you decide which one you like, they can make you some 8x10s. I think he charged $1.50 or whatever for each one, and you can put them on your merch table or whatever. Nicolette, I had no idea that many people were gonna come out. I mean, it was, you saw the pictures that were on online that we put out there. There was a lot of people that showed up, more than I thought. Would you agree?
Yeah, and when you were doing like your live broadcast and your Chop Trivia, we just kept on turning around and saying like, Fabi, someone else is here. Oh, someone pulled up. Hey, tell them they can't park in the lot. So people kept on coming. So it was really cool, yeah.
Exactly. And the reason I didn't say live broadcast is because I tried to record everything, and then, you know, I could send it to Greg to put some clips up or whatever. But stupid me, I couldn't see the way the sunlight was hitting. I thought I was, you know, uploading everything and doing it, and it was all screwed up. You could barely hear one or the other. So that was 100% my fault. But we'll talk a little bit about that. But the highlight, and we've been doing this for years. Back in the day, I used to work for a show called Wrestling 101, and it was myself, Looney Lane, Big Swag, Samoa Joe, and John Cena. And we did a show. It was out there in the city of almost by Venice Beach, out in that area. And it was, you know, Cena was the prototype back then. And we used to talk all the time about supplements. And he used to make me laugh. I can't even say what he said because I don't want to get him in trouble or whatever. But and Joe was coming up in the business. We were working for Battleground and stuff like that. And Swag was like, hey, why don't you guys come down, man, and we'll do this show and all that. So we used to have a really good time. But they used to do this show called Chop Trivia. And they would ask a question, and if the person would on the air would get it right, they would get a prize. And if not, Samoa Joe would chop somebody. And he laid me out a couple of times. I remember the Ballard brothers, he almost took one of their heads off or whatever, just giving them a chop. And it was, people ate it up. They were like, thought it was so great. So when I started working, I continued that tradition. But when we went to the live broadcast or show or whatever that was at Paul's Photo, the new thing that's the rave is that cornhole throwing championships where you get the bean bags and you throw them and try to make it in the hole or whatever. So we said, look, if you can make one of four, you can get something from the prize table, or you can pick who you want to get chopped, wrestlers or whatever. So out of eight people that won, Nicolette, there was only one person who went to the merch table. Everybody else wanted to see somebody get chopped, right?
Yeah, actually, I saw two people go to the merch table, one little girl and one older gentleman.
Oh, one of the photographers.
One of
You're
the
right.
photographers, yeah, one of the workers, yeah.
But other than – and people were even – because Manny's – one of Manny's daughters was really good at it. I mean, she could hit like two or three in a row like it was nothing. So they were even saying, can you throw for me so that we can – I can pick somebody to chop. So we're
That's
like
awesome.
– so, dude, I chopped John Black. Manny took one. Michael Parks took one for the team, and then I had somebody chose me, so Simon Lotto gave me a chop. But I mean, it's the people eat it up. They could care less what we have on that table. They just want to see somebody get chopped. So we had a really good time, got some really good pictures taken care of. I mean, like I said before, Warhog was there, the Chivos, Alas de Oro, Sean Black, High Risk, Nicolette.
Captain Corona, Manny Mars.
Captain Corona, Manny Mars, who came early, by the way. They came, like, on time, which is great. So we had a great time. And these people, what it was is they had, like, an advanced class that does the, takes the class, and they have their nice cameras, and they show, look, if you take this picture with this background, and you know, there were all kinds of stuff. So they ate it up. I mean, they would see the guys come in the mask, and they were like, yes, let me put you over here. You know what was funny, Nicolette, is they made – well, they didn't make it, but they had Guyam – because he had a cape, you know, with his gear. And they kept making him run so that the cape would fly and they could take the pictures. And after about two or three times, he was blown up.
Oh my gosh!
He goes, well, this is worse. He goes, this is worse than wrestling. I keep running back and forth. I'm getting blown up. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I did not get to see Guyam running, but I did see that they were having like Steve jump off like the brick wall.
Yeah,
I saw at some point someone was doing cartwheels. So
yes.
No, Sean and I remained on the floor. We didn't do anything flying in the air or running back and forth. So.
And I had not even an inkling of thinking that I was going to run or do jumping or anything. Yeah, it was pretty cool though. We had a really good time and got some really good pictures, and it was really cool. So much that like a lot of the wrestlers called me afterwards after they saw the picture and said, hey man, you know, we didn't know it was going to be like, I'm like, well, you should have came, dude, you know? So now they're like, well, can you do another one? But the owner, Mark, liked it so much that he wants to do a show there. So we're working on possibly doing a show
awesome.
Over at Paul's Photos. Yeah. So, that's where I'd like to have Mecha Wolf and Bestia wrestle High Risk. So that's what we're working on. But anyways, running up against the clock, so I want to get Jesus Carcamo Vasquez in here. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to shoot him a text, let him know that we're going to call, and we'll be right back. And then we'll talk a little bit of MMA news, and then we'll talk a little bit of wrestling news because I've got a lot to cover. Hold on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
That's what I'm talking about. For the people, you're listening to Wrestle Boss Live with Favi Chulo. I got a 1,000% knockout, Nicolette. And real quick, in my studio, I am dying of heat stroke in here. It is so hot. I would give $1,000 for anybody who could turn a fan on in here because I'm dying. But
what
anyways,
is wrong with you guys? Oh, my gosh. It's always hot.
Yeah, for some reason I'm dying, and it smells like sage or something in here. So I don't know what's going on if we're doing sage packets or something in here. But
you know,
it smells good
for everybody listening at home too. When Favi and I went to the Lucha Expo, Favi said we stayed together, and Favi said as soon as I get to the room, I'm cranking up the air, and I was trying to cover myself with towels and sweatshirts and t-shirts, and he's like, no, I'm a big dude. We're turning on the air conditioning, and I was freezing. So Favi just in general has a problem with just burning up.
Yeah, and the sad part is that we go from bad to worse because when we were in Vegas, it was freezing, so we were dying over there. So I when we went to San Diego, it was hot, so it was like, you know. But I'm fat, So it's got to be cold for me, because if it's hot, man, I'll be dying. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Let's give Jesus Carcamo Vasquez a quick call and talk a little bit, because I got a few things I want to cover with him.
Hello.
Hey, Jesus, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss Live. Can you hear me, my friend?
I can hear you well. How are you doing, Fabi?
I'm doing good. Real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo, and we're going to be talking to Jesus Carcamo Vasquez real quick. But my co-host, of course, 1,000% Knockout Nicolette, who's also my daughter and a wrestler and all kinds of other things. Real quick, say hi to Jesus for me real quick.
Hey, Jesus, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Awesome. Good. Thank you.
Now, my child is in her 20s. So you just had a small child or anything. So real quick, are you getting any sleep? Because it's at the point where, you know, you got to take care of them 24/7. How you doing, Ryan? You kind of tired?
Oh, brother. You know what? I have a 21-year-old daughter, and I reset. Uh-huh. So I haven't felt the pressure in a long time. And there's no sleeping going on at all right now.
Well, wait till they approach and go, you know what, I think I want to be a luchador. I think I do. I want to start training. And then you go, oh, my God. So just be prepared. But, you know, with that being said.
I'm completely excited about that, man. I'm completely excited about that for my little boy. My daughter wrestled as well. And
yeah.
I think it's just one of those things that we're just going to keep going. You know, it's kind of become a traditional thing for the family. My younger brother's wrestling now. And I'd love to actually get him into it once he's able to get there, you know.
Yeah, they can't help it. It's in the blood. You know what I mean? It's just part of it. So, but it's good that it has somebody like you, man, who's paid their dues and trained at the Anaconda Academy, you know, and worked really hard to get where you are. So right now, I mean, I know it's the COVID and everything, and I've had Giovanni on a few times talking about it because he was really concerned, man. He called me personally on my cell phone and say, hey, look, man, you know, we got to get the word out there that at this point, this was a few months ago, you know, we can't be training, man. He goes, I want you guys to be alive. You know, if you guys all die from this COVID, there's going to be nobody to train or whatever. So he's very, very serious and very concerned about his students. So right about now, I know you moved away from the Anaconda Academy. I mean, do you have any, you know, have you been training at all or trying to stay in shape? I know you work and you just had a little one. How's that going right about now?
It's been tough. I'm out training out of Sequence Jiu-Jitsu in Norco. Shout out to them guys. Amazing gym, amazing group of people. We had just started going there, and I kind of had to step away from it for a little bit due to, you know, having my wife pregnant, having my little one.
Yeah.
I definitely catch roles here and there with my buddies and, you know, try to keep it safe, try to keep it a small group because, it is, I honestly myself, I can't, I would not want to have my newborn get anything, right? So as mm-hmm. parents, I kind of think of that first. And
right.
It makes it tough to train just as is. I mean, this COVID thing has shut down so many gyms, has shut down so much training, you know. It feels weird. It feels weird, you know, to not have that constant movement that we had before this, you know. When it came to training.
Yeah, what it is it sucks is what it is because, you know, you get used to a certain lifestyle or you get used to a certain, like, routine where you go and train. And to be honest with you, how long has it been since you've actually, like, been to the gym or on the mats or whatever, doing whatever, sambo, judo, or jiu-jitsu?
I was just on the mats last weekend. As a matter of fact, I had a small procedure done on my back, which is the reason why I stepped away from grappling for about almost a year now, man. I had to take it light. I stopped competing due to it. It was just killing my lower back. And I had that done. And since then, I've been kind of coming back, and it felt great. I was on the mat with my buddy Rick from Anaconda Academy, actually, last weekend, and getting a couple rolls and getting the feel of it. In shape, my job keeps me strong, but there's a lot that comes with getting shit rolling. So that's not there yet at all.
And it's a way different when you do that. When you start going live and sparring, it's a whole different thing. But now I know Gokor and Giovanni have sambo or whatever. Is there any other place that you could train sambo besides there?
Yeah, there's the academy in that's Boris's Academy, and that's Beverly Hills Sambo Academy is out there as well. And they've also got some great Sambo going on there. That's Dynamo. That's the Dynamo Academy out there that I know of. Those are the two places that I've actually, you know, trained with.
And we're going to have to go down there and visit or whatever, or I'll meet up or something at Giovanni's, because I cannot for the life of me understand the rules. I mean, I know you have the gi on, but you have shorts, and you know, they do, you hit them with the throw, but you could still work on the ground and stuff like that. So it's, you know, we got to do one day where we just kind of go through like the moves and then show, you know, how you get points and stuff like that. Cause I've seen, you know, you and I've seen Marvin, you know, do, and then they throw him, and then the next thing you know, they put him, he got him in a knee bar, but then he tapped, but then they got back up and kept going. So I was like, well, I don't, is it, in a nutshell, are the rules a lot different than jiu-jitsu and judo?
No, not too much different. It's about the same if you would run it, you know, with finishing the person, right? It's just a little quicker. You don't have too much time on the ground. You can win like judo. You can win with the throw, or you can win with the wrestling pin as well, which is kind of different, right? That you could you know choose to actually pin somebody instead of a submission, and you could also win by submission. There's a lot of things you can do with the actual kurka itself, which would be the gi top. You could actually do a different variety of throws because of the little cuff that it has on the shoulder too. It's a very exciting sport, man. It keeps it going.
Very different.
I know Giovanni. I know your Giovanni. You know how enthusiastic he always is, and how he's a great person. I'm sure he'd love to, you know, have us down there and do a little training session. You know?
I told you, you know, and he's such. They're such a nice people. But I told you, you know, when I went over there, they had a real small. He was like maybe 5'1", 5'2". But I didn't know he was like the national champion. I have the pictures up, but to show me, you know, because I'm like, they're like, okay, well, we're gonna have him do a few moves with you, so that way, and I'm like, oh man, I'm close to 300 pounds. I'm gonna land on this dude, and I don't want to hurt anybody or whatever. But dude, you know, he dug those hips in, and when they get you and dig those hips in, and you're off your feet. That's it. You're just going. You're going over, regardless of how big you are or whatever. So they shocked me into that, because I'm gonna be honest. I didn't believe in judo. You know, I was like, oh man. You know, you gotta have your wrestling and you gotta have your jiu-jitsu to finish the holds and all that. But I mean, they made a believer out of me that day in particular. Because what it is too is when I was working with Marvin, you know, he gets me going one way and then pulls me the other way, and before I know it, boom, bacatelas, y se acabó. I'm on the ground on my back. You know what I mean? So it is a lot of that, right?
He has
a lot of
really good uchimata throw as well. Marvin has a really great uchimata that he uses. Excellent throw. He uses it in jiu-jitsu matches, and he's got that dialed down. With them, man, is where I kind of expanded my judo for sure, because I was doing judo before, but once I went there, the throws came a little easier and more fluid, and the judo is also a great part of the grappling. I would actually like to see more of that going on in the grappling, you know.
Yeah.
With the pros and the fight to win, see a little more throws and, you know, make it a little more dynamic.
Yeah, because they did start to do that at Grappler's Quest. They started doing like a wrestling competition where you know, takedowns were a certain amount of points and stuff like that. So it would be nice to have a judo thing like that too, where you it's funny because
something.
Marvin didn't want people to see so much, you know, because then they start figuring out a style. But he was showing me the video. I think he took it off of YouTube, where he was in a jiu-jitsu competition, and the guy kept trying to shoot his leg. And when he did, he would just grab the back of the belt, dig the hips, and then boom, take him right over. The dude was like, no, uh-uh. That. And so he tried it again, and boom. By the third one, he got mad and started going after him or whatever. So it's just cool how they incorporate that the judo into the jiu-jitsu. So what I'm trying to say is that what got you into, I mean, what got you interested in Sambo? Because did you go there to start training judo and Sambo was there, or is that what you wanted to do from the beginning?
I was not interested in sambo because I didn't know what it was at first. So it's just more into jiu-jitsu. And then being over there at Giovanni's, I was helping out with the kids classes a lot. So I would I would be there from 5 o'clock to, you know, till we shut it down at 10 o'clock, and in between that we'd have the sambo classes, and I would be sitting there on the bench and, you know, kind of sitting out. And he's like, "Why don't you, you know, you're here already. Well, get in there." You know what I mean? And it started like that. And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm not kind of interested this year. I'm here for the jiu-jitsu." You know, kind of just thinking that one way of things. Then as we went along, it's like, just getting, all right, started getting in there little by little, getting in. Then it was just more of Giovanni, you know, he, with his students, he just takes like, he's really confident, and he'll be like, "Hey, you know, we're going to have a competition this day, so get ready."
Yeah.
You know? And then when it comes to that, then my mentality goes in, and it's like, "Oh, well, then I got to get ready." You know what I'm saying? So then I really just, we started kind of focusing on, I believe that was the Mr. Olympia. And we just got ready to go. And next thing you know, months down the line, we're in Vegas ready to go. And here I am at my first competition. And, you know, and it was so worth it. It was so worth it to just listen to them. And it, you know, at the end of the day, I ended up taking the tournament there at my weight class and winning. And it just felt great. And to be able to compete with so many different people from around the world, it was just different. You know, and you did sort of kind of, you kind of get that, just the Brazilian style of it over there. And the sambo is just, there's more people, it seemed like, you know. It seems like it's bigger around the world than just, you know, than it is here in the U.S.
Yeah, and when I had Marvin, I was doing a show at where they had a big studio, and we brought him down, and they had just called him, the Honduran government or whatever called him, said, "Hey, can you represent us in this competition or whatever?" And I was like, "Damn," I'm like, "They're not calling me and saying, 'Hey, can you represent, you know, Mexicali in this thing?'" So I was like, totally
you're
and
ready to go too, right?
And then did you go to that one too?
No, he went, that one was a couple years ago, and that was the world at, I want to say, somewhere in the, like, Czech Republic, somewhere out that way.
Yes.
But he did go out there, and he won his match. He won with that throw as well.
Yes.
He won against a bigger dude that came in on him, and he hit him with the Uchimata throw as well.
Yeah, a big old dude with long hair or whatever, and I was like, "Man, that dude!" And he talked. Well, it's funny because
he took him off his feet, definitely.
Yeah, when I first had Giovanni, you know, on my other show, and we were talking, and he goes, "You know what? The way we train, if we go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, we just need to know the rules. Once we know the rules, they can adapt, and they're good to go." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, that's pretty smart to be able to train. You know, you're ready for everything." Because he goes, "You know, a lot of times if they go, they get intimidated because this guy's bigger or whatever." He goes, "But if they know the techniques, they're confident. It doesn't matter what size or whatever." So I you know, we want them well rounded so that they don't worry about that. That makes them more like independent or whatever. They're not worried about it, and they're comfortable in themselves, no matter who they go against. So, man, ever since that, you know, I had Giovanni, I was like, "Man, this guy really has a passion for not only the sport, but for the people that there or whatever." So, you know, kind of works out really well. But real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. I got Nicolette Marie with me, and we're talking to Jesus Carcamo Vasquez, talking a little bit about getting into it, doing the sambo and the judo and the jiu-jitsu and everything like that. But for yourself, you know, somebody who, because when I started training, because I was doing luchas forever, and then when De La O came to watch one of my shows, he's like, "Man, if you come down and train the luchas, you know, you could come and train with me, jiu-jitsu or whatever." And I got bit by the bug and really started, you know, training jiu-jitsu and competed in Grappler's Quest and stuff like that. I got to the finals twice at Grappler's Quest, and I lost to the same dude both times.
Wow.
So I always wanted to go back, you know, and you know, I'm 55 years old now, but Giovanni's like, "Well, dude, I'm, you know, I'm not
it's
there,
ageless,
but I'm close."
Man.
"Yeah," he goes, and I ended up going against some younger guys. He goes, and I was able to, he goes, "I almost won the thing." He goes, "You can't just stop, just keep going or whatever. You know, you're welcome over here anytime." So hopefully after, cause I still train, probably about I'm gonna say twice a month. Like just for now, just doing technique because I really can't go anywhere to do some live sparring. But I would like to at least try one more time before I'm out. So that's my future. What about yourself? What's the future hold for yourself?
Off man, for myself is definitely getting healthy and getting back out there. I've always got the bug in me. It's just I was plagued with injuries and like I said, and that kind of a thing. And right now it's just get healthy, get my family healthy, and keep going with what I'm doing. You know, try to keep going with rolling here with the buddies. Wait till everything gets reopened and going again, and keep doing what I'm doing. I'm also still trying to push the brand with my guys, and shout out to 100 Grapplers, man. Shout out to Steve Jones, my buddy's he's about to defend his title at AKA on November 13th. You know, he's Honduran. He's defending his title. You got Mara September 19th, and she'll be at UFC 253. You know, it's another Honduran, and then there's just excited to see what it goes from here. You know, there's a lot of things that are just being put on hold for this. You know,
yeah, which sucks. But I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You don't want to come back and get sick and then go back. But how's the? I have my Honduran grappler hoodie. I haven't been able to wear because it's been so hot right now. But as soon as this winter kicks in, I'm definitely going to sport mine. How's that doing? You know, the Honduran grappler, you still got your stuff out there. And especially wintertime, you'll be able to get them hoodies out there, right?
Yeah. We'll definitely try to do something in the winter, depending on things go. Right now, what we did is a project with the COVID masks. And we had some masks done, and that we're not putting those out for the public. And those are actually we're donating back to Honduras. We're sending those off to Honduras to be given out for free to the people. You know, I have a great buddy who's got a little who's working on the side, giving people meals and stuff like that. And of course, like everywhere around the world, the things that are missing are masks. And we decided to do this little project and just send them over there, just be given out for free. So right now, it's not really about taking anything in as more so we want to give back a little, you know?
Yeah, helping out. Yeah, that's cool. Real quick before we let Jesus go, Nicolette, that last time I took the whole family, it was myself, Nicolette, and my wife, and I had the big match, and I almost got the – well, to be honest with you, at the end, I got caught in the arm bar, but you know how the mats are kind of lifted off the cement? The guy was completely off the mat and had my arm. So not only did he have my arm, but it was going down off the mat.
That's for crazy.
Oh, dude. So no, this is at Grappler's Quest. So I ended up tapping because that I could feel like guitar strings popping in my arm. So I came up and I'm like, I'm telling the referee, hey, he had me off the mat. Or he goes, you were going to tap anyways. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I get off the mat and I'm dying and I'm winded. So I walk up to my wife and Nicolette, what's the first thing my wife said?
She said, how come you didn't win? You're bigger than him.
It's not about size, brother.
Didn't you see how hard I worked? I mean, I had position and everything. The only thing is I got swept, and when he swept me, I was off. And she goes, well, you're bigger than him. What happened? I'm like, oh, my God. And then they go, hey, you don't want your second place, man. I'm like, I'm going home, man. I went home and never went back. But, that's when you leave like that, you just want to get back so bad, to redeem yourself or whatever. But anyway, say so. Hey, usted tiene un mensaje para toda la gente. What is it? Honduran? ¿Se habla español?
Hondureños. Para toda la gente que habla español, siguen adelante entrenando duro. Juntos, positivos, y todos vamos a salir de todo esto. Y un gran saludo a Johnny Munoz and my peoples out there at Sequence, Anaconda Academy, and all the Honduran Grapplers, and to you for having me, man. I really appreciate you, and always, give me a shout out and anytime, man. I really, really can't wait to see what the next step is going to be here coming up, you know.
Absolutely. We got to make a trip down there because I got a lot of people that I promise I've come down and stuff like that. So we'll definitely once we get everything past this COVID and all that, definitely got to get down. Or maybe we can all meet at Anaconda Academy, do a huge live show so that the people could see it. So to Jesus Carcamo Vasquez, man, I appreciate you coming on. Check out Honduran Grappler. Is it on social media or what's the website for that bad boy?
Right now it's just on social media. You can catch on Instagram as well as Facebook.
Okay, perfect.
And I'll put that where you can find it at.
I'll put that up on my social media too, so people can check it out. The stuff's really cool over there. And like you said, man, they're making masks and trying to give back and everything like that, which we can appreciate. So again, Jesus, man, a million thank yous for coming on. Always, siempre es un gran placer, you know, anytime that we have you on. So we appreciate it. We'll be right back after this. Jesus Carcamo Vasquez, make sure you check out Honduran Grappler, and we'll have him on again real soon. We'll do a big thing. All right, my man, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. You guys have a great night. Thank you, Nicole. Bye.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Nicola, you know what I'm so happy about right now?
What?
that I've been able to do the whole show and not have to switch over to my phone.
That is so true. That's, knock on wood.
That's the best part. But hey, Jesus, you know, I'm telling you, man, that Anaconda Academy judo, jiu-jitsu, sambo, you know, combination, it gets you to the promised land, man. Those guys really take care. But anyways, I got a few questions for Nicolette Marie before we get out of here because we're running up against the clock.
Okay,
but
I hope
first
I can
one
answer
is
them.
What do you have going on tomorrow? Because usually with AEW, I'm like, whatever. If I check it out, I don't. If I have to watch it on the replay, no big deal. But I am actually interested in checking it out tomorrow. What about yourself?
Oh, yeah, I'll watch AEW tomorrow.
Because the reason I say this is because tomorrow is supposed to be the debut of Thunder Rosa and AEW. Now, they've already signed the match for the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view is this Saturday.
Yes,
for her
that.
To wrestle against their champion. So they're going to have her make her debut this Wednesday. You know, with the way women's wrestling is now, the state of women's wrestling, I think that's a good fit for Thunder Rosa. She's actually the NWA champion right now, and she's going to go after the AEW championship. Well, give me your thoughts on that. I think she'll do well in AEW. What do you think?
You know, I've never seen Thunder Rosa wrestle in person. I've only seen her video footage, like, online, like when she's in the Sammy Guevara vlogs. I've watched a couple of her vlogs, too, with her and her husband. I remember when she was the tag team. Was it Twisted Sisters with her and Hala Dead? And they were a very good tag team. Yeah, and I remember watching Hala Dead wrestle. I also know, too, that we all go through the same gear designer. I saw Kiros posted some throwback photos of her in the living room. Kiros is my gear designer, Fabi's gear designer, Sean Black's gear designer. So it's cool to see the people from out here getting a huge shot at something like AEW. So I think she'll do well.
Yeah, Kalisto and what's the other one that Lince Dorado, they went over there and got some gear done not too long ago when they were in L.A. So, that you know, that dude's got skills. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, also, which is huge, you know, I'm a huge New Japan fan. You know, Rocky Romero has been doing a lot, you know, he brought Adrian Quest into the mix and Danny Limelight Rivera. Those guys are out there. So you know who's making their debut? I think he already wrestled once, but he's going to make his debut in New Japan for one of the big shows that they got coming up out here. Is, you're not going to remember this name. It's Fred Rosser, but he was also formerly known as Darren Young.
Yes, I know him with Block the Hate.
So he's I think he already wrestled once in New Japan, but he's making his debut in the big show coming up. Dude, I think also that's a good fit. To me, I think these guys have kind of waited out. I mean, I understand you want to make money, so you know AEW or whatever, Ring of Honor, you want to get back into the mix, but he kind of waited it out and went to New Japan. I think that was a smart move. I think that dude, cuz I think he's going to prosper if he trains, especially like at the LA Dojo or whatever, kind of get used to that strong style. I think he'll do well. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? He's another one, too, that came down to come sign at the Wrestling Guy store, and we did not go to go see him.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get me out or whatever.
Yeah.
But also, when we're speaking of Rocky Romero, Ring of Honor is having their Pure Wrestling Tournament. I don't know. Are you familiar with the Pure Wrestling Tournament in Ring of Honor?
I am not familiar with it. What happens?
It's where they have their, like, it's supposed to be wrestling. You're supposed to adhere to the code of honor where you shake hands before and you shake hands after. If you get put in a hold, you're only allowed to grab the ropes, I think, three times. The fourth time, that's it. You're disqualified or whatever.
Oh my
gosh. So it's more of like a shoot style, chain wrestling type of tournament to kind of weed out who's the real wrestler.
And then when you get disqualified, is Shibata waiting for you in the locker room?
Oh, yeah, you get hit with the kendo stick or whatever. But
yeah.
Rocky Romero's apps actually in that tournament for Ring of Honor. So be interesting to check that. I don't know if that tournament's going to be on Fight TV or, you know, it'd be nice if they put some of this stuff on paper because there's a lot of stuff that I'd buy. But I don't want to have to buy
the app.
Yeah, exactly. I'll buy the pay-per-view or whatever. But speaking of that, with the pay-per-view coming up this Saturday, September 11th, AEW, I am interested because I do want to see Thunder Rosa wrestle for the belt against a Japanese girl. I can't remember her name. But what about yourself? You have any interest at all? Because, like, MJB or whatever his name is against John Moxley, honestly,
right.
I could care less. You know,
Dean Ambrose, yeah.
Yeah. So I am interested in seeing that match. So I might get the pay per view. What about yourself?
I did see the contract signing for the John Moxley match, and I didn't really care for it. I feel like they're kind of dragging. And I don't really know what her medical condition is, but I feel like they're dragging on that thing about that girl in the wheelchair too.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It seems like that storyline's going for a pretty long time. I really did like the Sammy Guevara match.
Yeah.
The ladder match, that was really
yeah.
good. If they're keeping that going, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, they're doing a no-holds-barred type of thing or
okay.
whatever, so that might be good. But this is what I'm telling you. You know, I don't know what – when Cody Rhodes and his wife were heels in New Japan, they put on a show. I don't know what they're doing. When we went to go see New Japan at the arena, the last New Japan show they did, he came out as a heel, and Brandy was with him. And she knows how to work as a heel.
She does.
I think they were wrestling the Gorillas of Destiny. It was him and somebody, and they were wrestling the Gorillas of Destiny. And he, you know, when he pulled Brandy on top of him, that the Samoanos didn't care, and they still went through with the splash. And when they hit Brandy, they wanted to kill Cody Rhodes. And she took that splash or whatever, and I'm like, man, they got something there. I was fully entertained, fully, like, you know, just the way he worked the crowd, the way him and Brandy worked the crowd, I thought it was great. Am I missing something? Let me know, because I think that they should do that in AEW. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't take it to AEW. Maybe it was a contract thing or something. I don't know. But, yeah, she did know how to work. I don't know where she got her training from, but, yeah, she's a very good worker.
Yeah, and she's just she knows how to work to where the people are going to hate. This is what I tell Nicolette all the time. I go, people like John Cena, they hate John Cena because they want to be him. That's and so, like, when I tell Nicolette, hey, when you go out with AEW, do this and do that, I say, because they're going to hate you, and they're either going to want to see you get killed or they're going to want to come back the next show to see you get killed on that show or whatever. And Brandy's a perfect example of that. She can work
yeah.
that crowd to where she heats them up, and they're like, man, if she gets away with something, they're going to come back and see her because they want to see her get killed or
well,
whatever.
I
so
say
I
Brandy Rhodes has looks and she has talent.
Yeah, and it works. I don't know what they're doing over there. I really don't. I can't get too crazy because, you know, Chris Daniels is there and all that, and you know, those are good friends of mine, and so I'm not gonna, you know, say, but I'm just this is just what I'm saying. That would work. People would go nuts. Again, in this COVID era, it's kind of hard, you know, because you can't say, well, she can work the crowd because there's only 10 people there. But, you know, it, still, she can work. But anyways, I'm probably gonna get the pay per view. Maybe we'll do a little review on it next week. So with that being said, the
yes,
last thing I want to talk
about. Can you barbecue?
Sure.
Okay, great.
I said that a long time ago, but of course your mom is like, oh, it's just too hot out there. You're going to die or whatever. But if it's a barbecue burger, I'll sweat it out because, you know, I love
okay.
some barbecue. So maybe we'll do that. I can't invite Michael Parks and Manny and them because then I'll have to triple up on the burger patties. But we'll work something out. But before we get out of here, a big, you know, big shout out to Maximo. You know, Maximo is the son of Super Porky Brazo de Plata. and he's an exotico. He's a good worker, man. I've seen that guy a few times. I think he can really work. He's really good. He's just a little bit too small, but he can make the best of it or whatever. He had a heart attack. They said he pulled through. They sent him to a private hospital. They say he's doing well. I don't know if he's going to be able to continue wrestling or whatever. I certainly hope he does. When you put Papi La Máscara, who is his other son, well, actually Brazo de Oro's son, and Maximo together, they can do damage. So hopefully everything will be okay with him. He'll be able to come back after his heart attack. So we wish him a speedy recovery for sure. Hopefully, you know, he'll be back in the ring soon. So anybody else you want to thank or say anything to before we get out of here, Nicolette?
No, just shout out to Primo for doing our tattoos. He's over at My Old Tattoo Parlor out in Torrance. He did an amazing job for everybody that liked him. Shout out to the boys, too, that came down. I want to say, for me, I was the one that pulled strings to get down high risk. Bobby and I were doing the Wrestle Boss show a couple weeks ago, and I told Bobby, when you get off the air, call Steve. And Bobby said it's a long drive for them, but, you know, I'll definitely invite them. And the boys came down. You know, they're driving all the way down from Ontario. And they came out, and check out their photos. And, you know, they're doing really well. And check them out on Being the Elite. And it's same thing, too, when Bobby says it, he tells me, hey, try to get out there and, you know, do this. And, you know, when the boys called me to work with them, I'm in the back and they're talking. And Simon's like, and I want you to do this. And in my back of my head, I'm like, don't call on me. But they're just so cool. Like, they, like, give me, like, that opportunity. It's huge. And, you know, when everybody was taking pictures, Sean Black told all the photographers, he said, these two guys right here, he said, they're going to be signed within 2 years to AEW. He said, make sure you guys get photos of them now. So to have the opportunity to work with them right now, I'll hold on to every moment that I have with them.
I agree. And let's put it this way. If I was the manager and I had you three in my stable, we can get to the promised land. I mean, I can 100% guarantee it. Christopher Daniels, if you're listening, hey, bro, bring him out. Bring we'll do one shot. And if I guarantee you won't be disappointed. And if you are, you know, then you never have to talk to me again. They've been doing a little bit work on the what's the YouTube channel called?
The YouTube channel is the Young Bucks Being the Elite.
Like, if you check that out, you could see Simon and them on there. They don't get to do as much as they usually do because they got a finisher that's just ridiculous and it really pops the crowd. But they're on their way, definitely for sure. So we look forward to that. So for the people listening, hey, huge thanks to Jesus Carcamo Vasquez for coming on. And, you know, next week we'll definitely have some more people on or whatever. Just it got a little crazy right there and I didn't get a call back. I'm working on Taya Valkyrie. I mean, the thing that sucks is on Tuesdays is when TNA is on, so I'm pretty sure she's doing stuff for them or watching it or whatever. So we're trying to work on, you know, I think you want to talk about paying your dues. That's because I want to get her on here, talk about paying her dues, training with Damon Halloween and Perro Aguayo Jr. and being part of all that and, you know, all that. And that's why she's such a good wrestler and the way she is today, and even training in Canada and stuff like that. So I'm really trying to work on getting her on here. But Nicolette, as you know, some of these women, you have to, you know, I'll even tell them, hey, if you're comfortable calling in, no problem, because a lot of people don't like to give out their number or whatever. But so no problem. It's more than welcome to call in or whatever. So we're working on that. Hopefully we can get that sewed up soon. So with all
Bobby,
that being said,
talk to Mega Wolf, too, about getting on Miranda Alizé with the red hair. Let's try to work on her, too, yeah.
Yeah, that he's been training out there in TJ, you know?
Yeah, they're training out in TJ. Yeah. She just posted a video today, too.
Well, I say we do it. All right, cool, for sure. All right, so we'll see everybody here. Don't forget you can check out WrestleBoss Live every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30 live. I'm sorry, Kevin tells me, dude, give out the call-in number. I don't know. I keep forgetting to do that or whatever. We're going to have one show where we just have people call in.
Let's do it.
I put the call-in number in, and then they're on there, and I forget about them or whatever. So I'll work on that, I promise. So we'll see everybody next Tuesday live here on WrestleBoss Live. Make sure you check us out every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30. We'll see you all next week.
Follow us on social media, too, you guys.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
quite good about it.